When exactly did compression really become a big thing? This is when it would be good to have heat.
Compression or decompression?
Because right now, decompression.
Decompression, as far as writing for the trade, that pretty much happened. It's pretty difficult to say, but the point in time when Marvel and DC said, okay, we're writing for the trade, was pretty much when I started really reading comics. Like, because before I had been reading X-Men pretty much exclusively and, like, just, you know, reading two titles. But once I said, okay, I'm actually going to get out into the broader world and, you know, broaden my horizons, that was the point in time when you had all that going on. And that was about 2003 was when that was firmly entrenched of, okay, six-issue stories from here on out.
Most of the time.
You know, we want six-issue stories, and we want six-issue stories where someone's going to start eating a sandwich in issue one and finish eating it in issue six. Like, and it's, and this is like, it's not anybody's fault per se, but, you know, I kind of tend to blame Bendis for it when he started working on Daredevil, because he wanted naturalistic dialogue, and he wanted, you know, scenes of people in restaurants talking to each other about something that's going on somewhere else in the universe. I don't fault him for it.
No.
It's experimental in a way that I think the comic books should have moments like that, where you have a naturalistic scene of two people talking to each other in a restaurant.
It was great in Daredevil. Bendis's run of Daredevil was amazing.
It's amazing.
Then go ahead and read what Brubaker does. It's great.
Yeah.
Then Diggle takes over and it's not quite as good. Not gonna lie, it's not quite as good, and Shadowland was a little bit of a disappointment.
I'm not an Andy Diggle fan.
And then Mark Waid is actually the new writer for Daredevil.
I'm reading it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. When I saw that new number one and when I saw the preview art, I was like, I'm on board.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm very excited. And the one thing I liked about it, and I don't know how the rest of the series is gonna go, but it seems like it's got that done in one style. Where
it hasn't been done in one, but each individual issue feels more complete.
Yeah, and that's all I want from modern comics now. Like
Thunderbolts, I think, is pretty good at doing that too.
Okay, well, I'm pretty much off the monthlies. Ironic because I said to myself, I'm quitting reading comics in monthly format because I'm sick and tired of decompression. I can't take it anymore. Why in the world would I buy comics monthly if the writers are writing for the trade? And I said, the only books that I'm going to read are going to be books that I don't think will succeed unless I help them with my dollar. So, like, I was like, I'm dumping X-Men. Like, Wolverine and the X-Men can get along perfectly fine without me. You know, blah, 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 blah. But I just realized, even the books that I want to help succeed, I don't necessarily want to spend... I don't want to keep reading them in the monthly format if they're still going to be meant for the trade. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to, like, if anyone, this is going out to, you know, everybody out there in podcast land, if anybody knows of a book out there that I should be reading that has this level of compression that we're seeing in Earthworld, where it's just like, you know, you look at Chris Claremont and the X-Men back in the 80s, and you look at just comics from the 70s and 80s, and even before that, good lord, the Golden Age, where you've got, like, an entire story done in 8 pages, but, like, you know, just... anyone who can give me that, any book out there that's got that level of compression, where you get a complete A to B done in one with, you know, that still manages to give you subplots and ongoing characterization. Like, I'm just so fed up with this decompression nonsense, because I feel like I read a book, I'm spending $4 on it, and I'm only getting 22 pages worth of content. 28 if it's Marvel, 22 if it's DC. Actually, no, DC's down to 20.
DC's down to 20?
Yeah, they're at 20 right now. Yeah. So, like...
Dude, that's our holding line.
Well, and that's... They went to 299 and cut their page count by 2 in order to make them 299. But with the new relaunch that they just did, certain books are allowed to have more pages, and they have a higher price point. So, Justice League, Action Comics, my guess is Batman... but, like, certain books have gotten the go-ahead to be $4 and have, like, 28 pages. But, yeah, that's pretty much where it's at. I think, like, the page numbers are off, but I do know that 20 pages, 299, that's the DC standard. And Marvel's is pretty standard at 26 to 28 for 299 to 399, depending on what the title is. But it's pretty
depending on how popular the title is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, whatever they think a flagship title is and whoever the big writer is that's on it, because it's about creative teams. So, but I don't know. That was a nice little tangent.
No, you should read Thunderbolts. I think it's Parker.
Thunderbolts is the book that everybody keeps telling me to read. Like, anytime someone's like, you know what, you want a book to read? Read Thunderbolts. And I always pick it up and I'm like, man, that was good, but I never follow through and keep reading.
Okay, so I've got my giant stack of Thunderbolts. I think I'll bring those over.
Yeah.
You'll have you start. Did you read the Jesus, what's his name?
I read the first like three issues of the Ellis arc. Because that was when Corey
Ellis?
Was...
Warren Ellis.
Warren Ellis.
Yeah. Oh, you only read the first three issues of the Ellis arc?
Yeah.
Alright, so I'll start you at the Ellis arc. It's going to go through Secret Invasion, through Dark Reign, through Siege.
That's a lot of books.
It's a lot, but...
See, and that's the thing, though. Like, with comics nowadays, it's like if you were to give me a stack that big, that'd be a great amount of story. But it's like having to pay that much for, like, Jesus.
No, it's... Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be really...
Yeah.
I could actually... Excuse me. I could really just start you after... Or I mean, the only reason I'd start you on the Warren Ellis is because the Warren Ellis is really good, even though...
Right.
It's still decompressed.
I love the team. No, it's all decompressed. I mean, like, it's just the way of comics now. Although, actually, Warren Ellis has been doing done-in-one stories for Secret Avengers right now. Because they don't know what the book is supposed to be, so they, like, put... Warren Ellis wrote a bunch of fill-ins, and now while they're trying to figure out if they want to cancel it or keep it going, they're just publishing Warren Ellis fill-in issues, and supposedly they're all really good, like
better than anything
the title's ever seen.
It's like the first two arcs that Brubaker did were they were super decompressed but they were interesting arcs where you'd have. One lesser-known character.
Yeah, I liked what Brubaker seemingly was doing. I didn't have an issue with what he was trying to do with Secret Avengers. Like, when everybody was complaining about saying that, oh, they're going to Mars and blah, blah, blah. We are really getting on a mainstream comic book tangent. This may or may not get edited. It might just wind up with its own separate episode.
Yes. mini episode.
You're right, yeah.
Because I think this is a really interesting conversation, so we should explore this to its completion and then just... Put it separately.
Yeah. I gotta
check out and put it up first.
Yeah, we've been recording for about an hour and 16 minutes, so we should probably be wrapping this up soon. But we're gonna at least finish out this tangent, and like I said, this will probably become a mini episode. So, So where were we? Talking about decompression. Talking about Secret Avengers. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody was complaining, because that was a book where I was like, oh, sweet, I want to pick that up, but once again, I'm going to pick it up and trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, for my dollar amount in terms of on a monthly basis, I'm pretty much, I reduce myself to as few books as I possibly can. I think I tried to be at 5, and I just recently said I'm not buying any more, and I'm only buying trades, which gets me sad, because I love that monthly stack. You know, there's something really great about it. But when you get a monthly stack and it's, okay, I just read 28 pages and someone drank a cup of coffee or somebody punched somebody in the face and it took 28 pages for them to tell me that somebody punched somebody in the face and nothing actually happened, it drives me nuts. And I know it's a great moment in a trade paperback of a much broader... section of a story, but to just like I want to open up my box of comics, or I get my little brown wrapped blue tissue paper thing that says Two Cats Comics with Dylan stamped on it, and I open it up and I just want to read 5 really good, awesome, done in one stories featuring superheroes punching people in the face. And it's like...
That's all you really need.
It's all I really need. I just want that little bit, you know, and then I'm good. But I'm trying to think of, like, what I've been reading that I've been really enjoying, and Daredevil's been the big one for me.
Yeah, I would say that Daredevil has gotten good, because, I mean, sure, like, these first three issues have been it's technically is one arc, because you have this whole
right.
Mr. Jorblani business, yeah. But, or that's totally not his name. Mm.
But, well, but at the same time, it's like you've got the, you had the hit at, or the kidnapping at the wedding,
mm-hmm.
And then you had his daily life, and, like, there were scene changes, and, like, there were things happening, like, it yeah. just...
And then, you know, the second issue you had, you know, Captain America showing up, and he yeah. had, you know, Captain America, and so then he went and mm-hmm. dealt with, went to the property, mm-hmm. and then it was like, cut, yeah, it's kind of like, or it's I don't feel like Thunderbolt is doing it as much anymore, mm-hmm.
yeah.
but it really had this feel of it, like, had a really, really good hook to get mm-hmm. you by the next issue,
yeah.
and it's just, oh, things happened, mm-hmm. and now things happened, and yes, that was all one arc, but I was very satisfied with that one issue.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because that's really just, you know, it's my major complaint is just, like, you know, you need to be writing, and it's fine if you're, because, like, you know, I was reading, one of my favorite books is Excalibur from the late 80s, early 90s, and that book was so good because Claremont was able to really pace, you know, he's telling the story of five different characters, and there's a central plot for each issue, but he manages to give face time to subplots and love triangles that are going on throughout the group in every single issue. And every single issue doesn't necessarily advance a broader story, but it's like they fight the villains, and then you have the characters and their interrelations that are really driving everything. And I kind of miss that tactic with comics, where, you know, you have the villain of the month, but your characters are who you're really there to see, you know? And that's kind of, I think, why I read comics, is to sort of touch base with these people, you know, these mm-hmm. imaginary people.
I'm a really big fan of Iron Fist.
Right, right.
And so
you gotta be sad there's no book.
There's no book, but his stuff is popping up in, it's pretty scattered.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm really glad I've been reading Iron Man 2.0, because mm-hmm. the whole Fear Itself thing in Iron Man 2.0 was totally an Iron Fist.
Right.
And, like, what had happened to him in New Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the final, it was like, Iron Fist's story will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, he's finally gonna be in a part of a team book that's not Bendis Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really bad for me, but I still buy Bendis's Avengers twice a month.
It's fine. I know a lot of people that do.
But it's like yes, I like the Avengers. I like the Avengers so much, but I care way more about the characters than the way he's writing them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't like J.R.R.'s art.
Aww, I like J.R.J.R.
J.R.J.R.
yeah, I'm, like, it
just feels weird in Avengers. Yeah. Like, it felt fine in Kick-Ass. It worked for me there,
yeah.
But when its distinctness didn't really help, I don't feel like it helps it in Avengers.
Yeah, I haven't, like, I actually didn't read, I haven't read, the last time I read Avengers was the first issue of Mighty Avengers right after Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. And before that, what did I read? I read the first issue of New Avengers.
Mm.
I read the first, like, five issues, and then got to the Savage Land, and then I said, no, I'm off this book. And, like, I just, I don't know, I bounced around the Marvel Universe with the Avengers and Bendis, and I just, like, I can't, I know that it's long-form storytelling and yada, 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 and it's just, like, it's not what I want for a monthly book. I'm, like, publish a big friggin' six-issue graphic novel, like, publish a 168-page graphic novel, let that be your story, because doing it in a monthly format, just, I feel like I'm getting ripped off, and it's, like, you know, you need to fit the medium, and he's not writing for a monthly format, because I feel like there are points where the plot points don't fall in a particular issue. And if you're writing on a monthly basis, you you're going to lose track. I can't keep rereading the past 5 issues to remember what the hell happened. Like, it's, I can't do that every month. Like, I don't have the time. So just imagine every time you put out a comic, unless you're writing a trade paperback that's done in one, that I can't go back and reread it. Like, that's just, I don't know. I know the comic book industry will never think of it in those terms, but that's where my brain's at with it.
Well, it's sort of like, didn't Marvel in, like, the 70s have, like, these illustrated things that were slightly larger? I have 2 of them. They're like slightly bigger.
It's the 80s, the Marvel graphic novels.
Yeah, the Marvel graphic novels.
Yeah.
So they should take Bendis off of all the books and just have him do Marvel graphic novels and bring that new thing.
Love for them to take Bendis off of each book and have him just write, like, say, okay, Bendis, you're doing an original Avengers graphic novel. You get to spend 2 years on it, and it is going to be canon as soon as it comes out, but we're going to let all the stories run their course, do whatever the hell they're going to do. We're going to say, like, this story's in the pipeline from Bendis, it's being drawn by whoever the hell. He's going to put out this graphic novel, it's going to be, like, you know, the equivalent of a 12-issue maxi series or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it'll be 2 hardcovers that are going to be published at 2 separate times in the year. But it will be canon, and it will affect the Marvel Universe forever. But let him do a prestige format hardcover that really changes the game. Instead of doing an event that happens over 6 months that has the chance to go, you know, horribly off schedule. And, you know, just, there are so many X factors that they have built into their business model that can only set them up for failure now. And it's like, if they got really strong creators to create something really special instead of churning something out month after month, it would really up the game of mainstream comics. And it's just like the business model that they run, because they're writing for this trade instead of writing little monthly stories. Like, it just, I don't know, the business model makes no goddamn sense to me.
I was reading something about how Marvel is doing better than DC, but mm-hmm. They're also just putting out more books. Yeah. The main difference between Marvel and DC is that their top 10 books, mm-hmm. you know, are pretty comparable.
Yeah.
Marvel's next 10 books mm-hmm. are way better than DC's next 10 books.
Yeah.
And that's why they have the edge that they have mm-hmm. in the market
yeah.
right now.
Well, that's completely changing now with the relaunch. I don't know if you've been paying any attention to
how
DC's doing, but
I mean, I'm going to be picking up books for other people. I'm gonna get the first issue on back order, the first issue of Static Shock, and the first issue of Blue Beetle for my little brother,
mm-hmm.
and then Wonder Woman for my girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting the first, like, because, you know, I canceled it, but I've already, because of the fact that, you know, I order my comics in advance, because I'm one of those people, I basically wind up ordering my comics 3 months in advance, and then they wind up getting to my door 3 months after, so I don't even know if I'm actually going to enjoy it. Like, it's kind of one, like, I hate the fact that I have to order my books that far in advance, but I get a really good discount because of it. So, twocatscomicbookstore.com. But, yeah, no, like, honestly, Two Cats Comic Book Store, this is a full endorsement from me. They're great. They've been nothing but helpful. My books have been on time. My books are in great condition when they arrive. And they're a fantastic service. And if you're really going to use anybody, go to twocatscomicbookstore.com. But, you know, you have to order your books 3 months in advance because they're looking at previews and they can't just get a bunch of books and put them on a shelf because they're not a store. They're an online company. So because of that, you know, you wind up getting things 3 months in advance. And so when I quit, I still have 3 issues that are going to come to me. So I still haven't read a lot of the DC relaunch yet. I'm going to start getting the first issue, and then I'm going to get the second issue, and then I'm going to get the third issue. And
it's
over.
So you're on board for the first 3 issues?
I am on board for the first 3 issues. Are you ready? Of Batgirl. Because I'm going to probably pick up Batwoman in trade, because that was one of those where I was like, I want art objects that are created. And Batgirl, because I was like, well, Gail Simone It's the only book, or like one of two books maybe, that DC has that's being written by a woman.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give them my money because I want to give any female writer in the new relaunch their due. It's Gail Simone. She gets a lot. She has a very large fan base anyways, but it's like, I was like, all right, I'm pumping some money in that direction. Justice League Dark, because it has Zatanna, Constantine, Shade the Changing Man, and it's like the magic Justice League. They're all characters that have powers based on magic, and I am a massive Zatanna fan and a massive Constantine fan. So I was like, all right, I'm there. I don't care if the book's bad. It's also written by Peter Milligan, who wrote one of my favorite X-Men books of all time for a while back in the early 2000s. X-Force. But not that X-Force. It was really good X-Force. X-Force by Peter Milligan and Mike Allred, which I hope to at some point cover on this podcast.
Groovy.
Yeah. And so that's Batgirl, Justice League Dark, Action Comics, because I'm a Grant Morrison fan, and for a while, I was like, no, I can't do it. I want to read it in trade. It's, you know, but then at the last minute, I was like, no, just put me on the book. And I want to say there was one other, and this is the sad thing, is that I can't even remember. Yeah, right? Yeah, so three issues of a book that, and this is why I quit. This is honestly why I quit, because I do this. I wind up ordering extra books than I should. Batwoman, Justice League Dark, Action Comics, and I just deleted my pull list off of my computer because I was like, well, it's gone. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. But, yeah, I think that's it.
What?
Go ahead. You'll be edited out.
Oh, you guys are still going.
Yeah, we're still going. Yeah, we're probably going to end in a minute, but...
Yeah, that thing you said about female creators reminded me of something that I had read. Did you hear about the thing with Suicide Squad?
Yes. I've seen the image of Harley Quinn.
No, not that.
Okay.
The other thing about Suicide Squad.
The writer quit?
Not that. That was the co-writer for Static Shock.
Oh, I thought that the... Okay, go ahead.
No, what happened was... Oh, so I don't... I'm not really into DC Comics, so I have no idea who this character is.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently there's this large black woman.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been made skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
So remember... DC Comics does not care about female characters. DC Comics does not care about female creators.
Both of the big two are pretty, like, they have a lot of lip service to female creators, but it's not, I mean, it's a really ridiculous bag of ridiculousness, but, I don't know, that's...
Yeah, or the what, like, got me is, like, there was some, like, press release or something that, like, DC was bragging about how it had all these great female characters,
right.
And most of them are distaff counterparts or part of some male superhero supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, for every Wonder Woman and Zatanna... For every Wonder Woman and Zatanna, there's five Batgirls.
Yeah.
And Power Girl.
And Huntress. And characters that are directly connected to some male character.
Probably Batman.
Yeah, pretty much. Go Batman. Cool Batman. If you want, send us your hate mail, send us your comments, send us anything you want to comicbookofthemonth@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at CBotMP. Also, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/comicbookofthemonth. And you can leave us a voicemail at 424-CBotMP5. Yes, you can. We got a voicemail.
What?
All right. Thank you for joining us.